Welcome to What the Health? Where anything health is fair game as we tackle the trends and bust the myths about health and wellness. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Angela Toro.
And welcome to another episode of What the Health? I am your host, Dr. Dan from Toro Family Chiropractic, here with my co-host,
Angela, salutogenic specialist at Toro Family Chiropractic. We're excited for another episode here. We got a very concerning topic here today, a disease we see running rampant through the office right now.
Very significant. You have our disclaimer, though. You better go through.
Oh, yes, I do have your disclaimer. How could I forget? Disclaimer, we're here for informational purposes only. No way to be taken as individual medical advice. Always talk to your trusted healthcare provider before making any changes or decisions related to your health. So with that out of the way, what is this very important disease that we're talking about today?
This condition, yes, is becoming so popular. We've heard of forward head posture, FHP, forward head posture, or tech neck is very popular, but that's not what we're talking about today. Today we were talking about FBS.
Not IBS.
Not to be confused with IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, which we also help with many people in the office. But no, F as in Frank, BS stands for
flat butt syndrome. We're really excited to do this one today.
This actually has been a discussion because we've seen so many, mostly men.
Yes.
Seeing a lot in men, this flat butt syndrome. And what we mean by this is, if you can envision this, the easiest way to picture it is, think of, you know, your 80 to 90 year old man who is, you know, starting to walk like really hunched forward. His shoulders are forward, his head's forward. But what happens when your head starts to go forward? This is your body's natural compensation mechanism. It's called the riding reflex. In order to help prevent your body from falling flat on its face, your hips will start to compensate and tuck underneath your head. So now you think of your head is way out in front of you, your mid back is way arched backwards, and then you've got the really forward hip posture, and this very, you know, small shuffling gait, and usually it's equivalent to, you know, men, if you see them with their walkers, and this happens in women too, but, you know, it's very, very common in men, but you see, see them in their walkers, and they're just shuffling their gait, and they've got their butt and their hips tucked way underneath them. And these are the men that, you know, they gotta wear suspenders, right? Because they can't keep, they've got no butt.
My favorite visual, I can't remember if it was you or somebody else that told me this, but if you took a frog and stood it up on its hind legs and pulled pants on it, that is the exact visual of the flat butt syndrome. So.
Didn't they used to have a frog who danced around in a hat? Yeah. Hello, my lady. Yes. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm not singing anymore. Anyway, so flat butt syndrome, what do we mean, and what the cause of this and the importance of this? So, you know, here's the thing. There are statistics out there that, you know, you can look up, but, you know, things like low back pain, you know, chronic low back pain, and people suffer chronic low back pain. I think up to 80% of adults
will have low back issues.
Yes. And so, you know, whether it's acute or chronic, again, chronic, you know, probably being several months or more, and they're dealing with these issues. But if you look at, again, let's travel outside, you know, our wonderful bubble of the United States, and you go to areas of the world, and we talk about this so much, you know, when we start to live our, you know, genetic makeup and live off the land the way we're designed to. We talk about tribal, nations that still, you know, again, live off the land and communities. And they don't have chairs, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe they'll sit on a stump now and again if they're sitting around a fire or a rock. But most of the time, they're either squatting down, if they're, you know, working to pick something, or they're, you know, working on a tool or something like that. Or they'll sit, you know, with a cross leg position,
on the ground,
on the ground. And what happens is when you do that, when you get down to that squat position or that seated position, you know, yoga position, you know, with your crossed legs, you're activating a large portion of the posterior or the back muscles of the back of the legs, the butt, the glute muscles, and the lower back. And you're activating all of those muscles in a very positive way, and you're extending them through an entire full range of motion that you don't get when you live here in America.
You sit in a chair. And you sit in a chair. You go to that 90 degrees.
Correct. As we're sitting in chairs
right now.
So I feel like we should be standing up and, like, you know, walking in place or something.
Well, I'm still recovering from a hip injury, so yeah, I actually can't do any of those things you just talked about.
We'll talk about that in the next episode. But anyway, so you've got this flat butt syndrome where it's like we sit, our entire society is built around sitting, right? Mm-hmm. We sit all day at school as kids, and then
we sit in the car on the way to go sit at school or work.
Yeah, because we don't walk anymore, right? So we sit in the car, to get to the bus, to go to school, or sit in our car, to your place of work. And then you have secondary education where we're sitting and studying for hours at a time. And then you have
even leisure time activities. We go and sit and watch sporting
watch
events.
TV.
We sit and watch TV. Yeah, we sit and watch other people be active.
Yes. We sit. Unfortunately, that does not lead to very positive activation or healthy efficiency of muscle groups, especially in your rear end. You know, you have your squat muscles, mm-hmm. your quads, your hamstrings, your glutes, literally the muscles that make up your butt. And we've all seen the difference, right, between athletes. Think of like a sprinter. Let's not talk about long distance because that's a whole other thing. They don't have the same muscle tone. But think of a sprinter. Think of, a weightlifter, a bodybuilder. You know, think of these individuals.
Football player,
yeah, who, have these really thick legs and big rear ends because their musculature is so developed. And that's really how most of us are designed. Genetically, we should have, at least some development of musculature in our hips, in our legs, in our low backs. The problem is we sit on them all the time. We don't activate them properly. So now we develop this flat butt syndrome where basically, again, our hips, our entire pelvis starts to tuck forward. So the back part of our pelvis starts rotating down. The sit bones start rotating forward. And then your pubic bones, which are, sit right over your bladder, right above your private area, starts to rotate up. And so it's that rotation of up in the front, down and flat in the back happens because of poor activation of this musculature from the time that we are developing our spine, which we always talk about. The spinal maturity happens around 20 years of age. So we're talking about, the time that we're learning how to crawl, learning how to walk, learning how to run, and then all the way up through that spinal maturity of 20 to 24. A lot of times as kids we're running around, but you get that school age and it's just, we're sitting, we're not activating properly. And now we haven't developed the proper musculature.
Yeah. And I think you can visualize even, as Dr. Dan was going through that, I know you can't see the hand motions that he's doing because we talk with our hands in this family.
Silly Italian.
But I mean, you can just visualize as he was talking about that tucking under of the pelvis, how that would naturally lead, either cause or exacerbate low back pain because you're essentially getting that additional stress on the low back if you don't have those glute muscles and those leg muscles to kind of help support your body. Where is all the tension going to go? How are you keeping yourself up if you don't have that nice strong base to keep yourself in that upright good posture, good position?
Yeah, and I think that's a great segue here to understand there's different types of musculature in the body, and the very small musculature around the spine, those are the muscles that usually people tweak, they say, oh, I slept wrong and I've got this kink in my neck, or oh, I just bent over to tie my shoe and
something's spasming.
Yeah, something.
Low back,
I
had
a spasm, or I picked up my empty laundry basket, or I picked up my kid, and, you know, now all of a sudden it's like grabbing, it's seizing, I got this sharp pain, and, you know, it's very, you know, sensitive to move. Usually that's a strain or a sprain of the very small low back musculature right along the spine. That musculature is not really made for movement. What it's made is they're actually very heavy in what's called proprioceptors. So those are the messages that are going up to the brain, telling the brain where the body is in space. They're positional sensors, positional sensations. So, you know, the easiest way to think about it is if we close our eyes, we reach our hand out in front of us. We know our hand is in front of us without seeing our hand in front of us. And we can do that because of those proprioceptors, the receptors of position, so our brain can calculate where our joints are in space. The heaviest proprioceptors are right along the spine and very, very heavily concentrated up in the neck, which again, you know, tech neck and, you know, all the importance of having healthy head position and a healthy curve and then
That's so important.
but it can be related because, again, if that head starts to go forward, again, the body is a very intelligent organism. So the spine, I always say, is one of the most amazing adaptive or compensating organs in the body. So if the head starts to go forward because of either an injury or because of poor posture over a long period of time, now that head's forward and the hips are going to start to tuck underneath. So now what you mentioned is we don't have good activation in the low back. Those, you know, we have poor activation of the big, strong muscles that are supposed to hold our posture. So because of that, and those muscles getting weak, now the positional musculature right along the spine, the very tiny muscles in there, have to activate even more. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, they're not made for that. That's not how they're built. They're built for position, not motion. And so because they have to activate, now we start to see these individuals where things start to get locked up, they start to go into spasm, then you start to see how easy it can be to move from an acute low back spasm to, oh, now I have chronic low back pain that I just cannot overcome. Mm-hmm. And it takes not just a series of adjusting, but, you know, a series of exercise to help correct that. But before we get into that, because that'll be our solution, you know, one more thing that I wanted to bring up, if the musculature is not activating appropriately, and now you're putting more stress on the tiny musculature and tendons around the spine, well, again, you mentioned the stress and what happens. Well, the stress is now removed from the big, healthy postural muscles because they're weak and they're not activating efficiently. So now all the stress moves to the tiny musculature, but also now the back has become flat. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about this before. You have three healthy curves in the spine. You know, you have a forward curve in the neck, a backward curve in the mid back, and you have another forward curve in the low back. So if you think of a spring, a nice healthy spring is very, you know, circular and rounded. It's got a good curve to it, mm-hmm. and it'll bounce and rebound.
Like a slinky. I feel like you're describing a slinky, right?
I just think of what is that? When Nature Calls with Ace Ventura, takes it to the top of like the yogi or the Buddhist monastery, and he rides the slinky all the way down like thousands of steps, and it gets to the very bottom, and it just stops, and he's there with his helper, and he looks at him, and is like, "Let's do it again." Anyway,
we digress.
Wow, yeah, big tangent on that one. Anyway, the nice healthy curvature of that, you know, of that slinky or spring. But what happens if you like take that slinky, let's say it's a metal one, and you stretch
which
it?
Which we used
out.
To always do as kids.
Yeah, you stretch as kids. You know, that's the first thing they do with it. You know,
stretch
it out.
How far can we stretch it? You hold this end.
So now that you've, you know, changed the mechanics, changed the curvature of the slinky of the spring, now it doesn't have the same shock absorption.
It's more rigid.
Exactly. And the same thing happens in the spine, mm-hmm. particularly what we're talking about with this flat butt syndrome, the flat flattening of our glutes and the tilting forward of our pelvis, now the normal healthy curvature of that low back actually flattens out. And so now the shock absorbers of the spine, which are the disc spaces, surprisingly enough, most people don't understand that. The height of our spine, nearly a third of the height of the spine is made up of those disc spaces between each spinal segment. You got 24 movable segments in the spine. Between each one of those segments,
you have a big chunk of
That's a third
of your height coming from.
Yeah, so people always wonder, like, wow, I'm losing my height as I get older. Well, the problem is you've had these shock absorbers that are, you know, again, supposed to be very supple, very hydrated, and, you know, designed to, you know, compress and rebound. They've essentially been under a lot more stress because you've straightened out the curvature. So now, instead of having the ability to compress and rebound, now they're constantly in this state of compression. Well, now, because of that constant state of compression, they start to break down much, much faster. So that's where you'll have people in their 50s say, yeah, you know, I'm an inch shorter, you know, and you can see it in people's posture.
Oh, yeah.
Just because their inability to stand up. Mm-hmm. But you're also literally, you know, not just from a positional standpoint, but you're literally from a compressive standpoint, changing the stature and changing the height of the entire spine through there. So that's where disc injuries can happen, because you've got this flat low back and you can start to develop weakness in the disc. So you can have a disc, you know, sprain or strain. A sprain or strain, again, leads to more weakness along the outside of the disc. Think of it like a jelly donut. You know, if I break some of the edge of that jelly donut off and I start to press it, you know, it'll start to go out the side. So, you know, you have weakness in the disc, and now a sprain or strain or a micro tear in the disc can lead now to a herniation, where some of the inside, you know, jelly-like substance inside the middle of the disc can start to compress outward. And if some of that, you know, some of that, you know, jelly-like substance, they call it the nucleus pulposus, starts to push out into the spinal canal, okay, now you've got a big, you know, hard disc pushing on a very delicate nerve in the spinal canal. Not only do you have, you know, tightness and spasm from the musculature that's starting to have to work harder, but now you've got nerve irritation where you can have pain, tingling, numbness all the way down the leg into the, you know, into the lower leg, into the foot, you know, and to the point, if it's there long enough, you can actually start losing other organ function control. You know, people who have, you know, difficulty controlling their bowels, controlling their bladder, because it's been there long enough. Now, usually that's got to be there for a very long time to get that severe. But there are people who, you know, if they have a severe disc herniation, they can be young. And depending on which disc and what nerve it's hitting on, you know, people can lose bowel or bladder function, you know, with that disc pressing in there. And those are typically very severe cases, and usually surgery is necessary at that point. However, we want to catch it well before that. So, what can we do about this flat butt syndrome? You know, so now you're going to have wives listening to this. It's like, I think my husband has that. He's always pulling his pants
up. Everyone's looking at their guy's butt right now going,
take it easy now.
I think you might have FBS.
Again, we do not diagnose. But it is very easy to analyze and see. So what do we do for FBS, Angela?
And I think that's a big, you know, a big issue that we're seeing, is because, you know, you're there, you're adjusting, you're trying to correct the, you know, what's going on from the spine standpoint and the nervous system standpoint. But the problem is, like we just talked about, if you don't have the support of the musculature, those adjustments aren't going to hold. It's not going to be a long-term fix. Things are just going to go back to the way that they were if you don't have that musculature to support it. And one of the biggest things that I see a lot, you know, people talk about, oh, core, I want to strengthen my core. What they don't understand is all those muscles we just talked about, the glutes, the legs, those are all part of the core. People think, we hear core and people think abs. People think six pack.
That's right.
The six pack muscles are actually probably the least important part of your core. They are, yes, they look pretty. They're a pain in the butt to get. It's, but
I got a six pack. It's sitting under my keg, but I got a six pack.
But honestly, we actually call those more of your visual muscles. versus the true core muscles that are important are the ones that are that you can't see, that are closer to the spine, closer to the organs, and then again going down into the legs. And they need to be strong because it starts with that strong core, and it starts with learning how to activate those muscles and keep them activated. Because again, we were talking about sitting all day, we become lazy. Our muscles become lazy. They don't have to, when we're sitting in a chair, you don't have to be activated. But if you know how to activate them, so when I sit in a chair, I'm still activating those muscles. I'm still sitting here, you know, my core is activated, my glutes activated, my legs are activated. It's a more conscious decision, but it can be done. So that's the first thing I like to work with people, is just learning that mind-body connection, learning how to activate those muscles. Because I was talking with a patient yesterday, and you know, he's like, well, what about, you know, like doing crunches and things like that? And I'm like, crunches can be a good core exercise if you're activating the right muscles. So that's the thing. And people don't understand that the motion itself isn't what activates it. You have to actively engage those very deep abdominal muscles before you do any kind of motion, because otherwise, again, the strain is coming back to the low back. So that's where, you know, it's really, really important to do exercises that are going to engage the lower body. So squats, like, perfect example, doing a proper squat, learning how to engage, you know, all the muscles of the leg, the quads, the hamstrings, the glutes, not, you know, some people become very forward heavy, so that kind of all the weight goes into the quads and they're not activate the quads at the front of your legs, big thigh muscles, as opposed to engaging the back of your legs and your glutes. So really learning, again, when you're doing a squat, you should be thinking like you're trying to sit in a chair, stick that butt back. Yeah. And if you watch a lot of people who've never been taught, you know, if you never took a weightlifting class or had proper physical therapy, you know, because again, I was talking about this yesterday. Unfortunately, physical therapy is seen as a treatment, but it could benefit so many people as a prevention. Because if you're not ever taught, you know, we both did athletics as kids, so we were taught at some point how to properly lift, how to properly squat, how to properly use our biomechanics, but a lot of people weren't. So if you just ask a general person who's never been taught how to do a squat or sit in this chair, you'll see a lot of people go forward, because that, again, it's that forward that forward posture that we have because of our lifestyle. So teaching people to go back, stick that, we always say stick the booty back, stick the it's that Beyonce booty, that's the stick the booty back is the biggest thing. Activate those glutes. There's a lot of great exercises that you can do for them. Bridges are one of my favorites, like laying on the ground and then lifting with the legs bent, lifting those legs up and really engaging, squeezing those glutes, squeezing those hamstrings. You'll feel that kind of instant activation of all those muscles. So learning to engage those muscles, and then until it becomes to the point that you don't have to think about it, really making sure you're actively thinking before you do anything. When you go to sit, when you go to pick something up, when you go to, you know, bend over, when you go to do anything, that you are actively engaging those abdominal muscles, those glutes, and those big muscles in the leg, so that you can build them up, have that support. And that's, I say it all the time, that mind-body connection is so important. You have to, if you don't know what muscles you're supposed to be using, then you're going to continue to do it the wrong way.
Well, and you bring up such a fantastic point with that, because again, you know, going back to, you know, what we mentioned earlier about school and kids, you know, jumping on a school bus, riding to school, and then sitting all day. So it's like, you know, we always talk about different types of learning, right? Mm-hmm. And in school, it's set up, you know, auditory learning and visual learning. Mm-hmm. But very little do we talk about kinesthetic learning.
Yeah.
Kinesthetic is the touching, the feeling, the engaging, and really comes down to the movement of the body, mind-body connection.
Like recess, kicking a ball, throwing a ball.
Correct. And so much of that, I mean, honestly, you know, elementary school should probably be 50% kinesthetic and then maybe 50%,
I think
life should be like that, absolutely. But again, we're designed to move. I mean, if you think about it, you know, our brain is this, you know, this little thing up in our head. I'm not discounting the brain, because it's kind of important. It's kind of what we do. But if you think of the musculature and the bones, if you look at what material makes up the majority of our body, it's muscle. It's bone that is moving, you know, it's moving our body in our environment. And so many of us, you know, either we forgot how or we never properly learned how to activate. I can't tell you the number of people, you know, they're coming in with knee pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I tell them, hey, activate your quad here, just because I'm trying to teach them a biofeedback of, you know, hey, how can you activate your quad whenever you're sitting? And I'm like touching, I'm putting my hand on the front of their thigh. I'm like, hey, activate. And they can't do it, or it's like, you know, they don't know how. And so, you know, and that's a lot of what you do is helping people how you actually activate that muscle, whether it's putting them in a specific position or an exercise to engage it. And then once they do that, being able to, you know, hey, how can I activate those muscles? That's really the beauty. If you look at, you know, bodybuilding, I mean, those guys have guys and women have mastered the body and the movement.
Specific muscle groups,
how to activate specific muscle groups without even, you know, without even actually engaging in an exercise. I mean, it is exercise what they're doing, but it's like, you know, their ability to activate, you know, their muscles. You know, you think of like
the pec flex.
And, you know, how those guys, you know, I'm doing my pec flex right now, but how those guys, you know, kind of like juggle their chest, you know, back and forth, or, you know, just bounce it up and down, because they have mastered the mechanics and the activation of their muscular system. And all of us have the ability, maybe not to that level, but all of us have the ability to activate those specific muscles. But it does take time and repetition and, you know, again, just a, you know, a little bit of learning, you know, but you got to work at it, right? And this is where, you know, not only can we help correct FBS, you know, flat butt syndrome, but there's so many other things, you know, going back to what you said about the squat, you know, that was one of the most eye-opening courses that I took. I took a, you know, physical therapy course, or a couple courses in chiropractic school, where again we're learning some of the intervention stuff. But one of the simplest but most profound things that we looked at was a squat, an overhead squat analysis. And you know, having someone hold their arms up over their head and go down into a squat position. I thought I was a good squatter before I realized some of the massive weaknesses that I had in my system because I couldn't do a proper squat. And when I started understanding that in my own system, then I could look at other people's system. Like you said, you know, the first, for someone who doesn't know how to do a proper squat, a lot of times they go down to that position. The first thing they want to do is lean forward because they don't know how to activate their ass. Pardon my French.
I think that's what I'm allowed to say.
I think so. They don't know how to activate their butt muscles. So again, because they're weak back there, then the only thing that they can do, because the back muscles aren't holding their body back in a nice neutral position, they automatically lean forward and put all the muscles on their quads. But I'm not saying they got strong quads either, because their quads typically are very tight and they're very, you know, they're very asymmetrical. And again, you know, you get into things like other joint pains, you know, not just low back pain, but now you get into the knee pain. I can't tell you the percentage of knee pain cases. It's not coming from your knee. It's not coming from your knee. It's not because you got bone on bone, which I think that's a whole other episode we could do. I get so sick of that terminology. But, you know, oh, I got knee pain, Dr. Dan. It's like, oh, really? You know, try and activate your quad muscle. And, you know, they do it on one side just fine. And then they do it on the side that hurts. And it's like they've got no activation or minimal activation of that muscle. And it's like, hey, you want to know why it hurts? Because all the pressure, instead of being on the muscle, is transferred to the joint because the muscle isn't activating appropriately. And so that's why, again, it's so important what you do in combination with the adjustments, because, yeah, we want to start to correct the structure and get the spine moving and better aligned. But now we also have to build the support system around the better movement and the better alignment, so that now we can activate, we can get better range of motion, better activation, and really just start to engage. And again, this is so important, not just from a treatment perspective. You know, yeah, we help people, you know, get stronger butts. There's an average, there's a marketing campaign. you know, come flex your butt better with it. Anyway, but we get you bridge from, you know, we're not just looking at this from an intervention and, oh shoot, you know, my husband's got FBS, I better send him in. But now we're looking at it from a, you know, from a kid perspective, or a young adult, and how can we teach our kids how to activate their spine, activate the musculature, the core, not just the belly, as you said, but really the, you know, the large leg muscles that should be responsible for holding us up in a good, healthy position, whether we're sitting, squatting, or even, you know, in a, you know, cross-legged position on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, and that, you know, so if you're one of those people that, you know, low back pain, especially when you're sitting for long periods, then that's a really good place to, you know, probably start and evaluate and kind of see how your core and lower body strength is. Because again, if you're sitting and all those muscles are weak, yep, all that pain, all that tension is going right to the low back. And that, you know, and again, we realize a lot of people, we're stuck in that seated position. We talk about that all the time. We can't necessarily change our society, you know, as much as it'd be nice to just say, oh yeah, just go find a job where you don't have to sit all day. That's, our world's kind of going in the opposite direction, but it is what it is. But it's finding those ways to, and that's the other thing I work with people on is, you know, how do we work into your routine, breaking up that sitting time, breaking up that, you know, that time, building in some of these exercises throughout the day. I tell people, if you're sitting at a desk all day, get up and do 10 squats, do, you know, do some lunges, do some, you know, do some things to activate those muscles so that you're breaking up that sedentary, that sedentary routine. And kind of finding those strategies is just going to help long term build up that musculature, build up that support, and give you that true muscular support that you need.
Well, and yeah, there's so many other you know, alternatives now too, with, you know, a standing desk, you know, the desks that go up and down like you have on yours.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you have the option to sit in a high position or stand
and change, then sit when you need to.
You know, and then again, you know, as you mentioned before, how do you teach people to activate their musculature. I'm sitting here right now and it's like,
oh, yeah,
I can activate my quads just based on how I push my foot into the floor, how I you know, sit up and activate my belly. I'll never forget, I read an article, oh my god, it was probably a decade ago, it was probably before even chiropractic school, but I remember 50 Cent talked about, he was interviewed in like People magazine or something, but they talked about, oh, how do you you know, keep such a healthy six pack, and he's like, I can literally do an ab workout all day long, you know, even when he's sitting in, you know, a Grammy show or something, because he knows how to activate his abs. And it's, I mean, it's the same thing with us. If you teach someone how to activate those muscles, you know, it's very easy to just start, you know, engaging the musculature, so you're not just becoming a slouch. And, you know, that slouch is what leads to the forward head posture. It leads to FPS, flat gut syndrome. So in addition to the analysis, you know, that we do in our office, I mean, again, it's usually very easy to see from a posture perspective if someone has it, but then also, you know, looking at an x-ray, you can tell very quickly, does someone have a, you know, or someone hips their whole pelvis rotated in a specific direction, you know, that is leading, you know, to that flattening of the low spine, the increased pressure on the discs, you know, and then of course, you know, all the other difficulties that come with it. So, you know, as you mentioned before, someone who, you know, you see like, oh, you know, they can't keep their pants up, or, you know, they just got, basically they go from their low back straight down the back of their legs. They don't have any sort of, you know, curvature, you know, at the rear end. You know, that's a very common sign of flat butt syndrome. You know, someone who, you know, gets injured a lot, you know, whether it's in their low back or their knee, if you're waking up with back stiffness, you know, whether it's in the neck or the upper back or the lower back, you know, also very common, you know, but, you know, all of these things can be helped. And again, it's not just a matter of, you know, oh, we want your back to feel better, but we want you to engage your body better. So a lot of these people that suffer with this, it's like they're in their 30s and it's like they got young kids. And it's like, my goodness, you know, you can't get out and run around with your kids without injuring yourself.
Yeah. The other thing I think about all the time is the, again, we've been kind of dishing on old men a lot in this one, but the old man grunts, when you think of like the people when they sit up or sit down or get out of a chair. A lot of that, again, is because they don't have the musculature to be able to. You should be able to get out of a chair without using your hands. That's actually a test when I was working with the elderly population right out of school. That was one of the tests that we would use to kind of test their progression through an exercise program and to make sure that they were progressing and being able to do that. And that's the kind of thing, you know, I think everyone who comes over to my place and sees how many steps I go up and down just to get to my apartment, and they're like, oh my gosh, how do you do this every day? I'm like, because I do it every day. It's I don't. So that's the thing too. It really truly is the use it or lose it, and we're not using it. So you really need to make sure that, you know, again, if the simplest things are that difficult, it's not going to get any easier unless you change something, unless you improve it. And, you know, people, like you said, we're seeing people our age coming in with these, you know, these aches and pains, and it's just, you know, they're
just
in
like, there. Yeah. Yeah. And they just want to say, oh, I'm getting older. And it's like,
yeah,
no,
yeah. I'm like, no. I'm the same age as you, and I'm not, I can get out of a chair. I can get out of bed. So yeah, it truly is, you know, people are kind of accepting that, the chronic pain is almost becoming a little too much of a norm now.
Yeah.
And that people aren't realizing, no, there's a lot that you can do to prevent it, to fix it, and to, you know, make sure that long term you're able to, you know, run around with your kids, your grandkids,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, you know, do the things that you want to do, travel, you know, well into your retirement years.
80s,
so yeah,
80s,
exactly.
90s
there's,
beyond.
There's no reason, you know, a life stuck in a recliner does not have to be the way that it is. So
no, that's the norm, unfortunately, yeah. in our society, but it does not have to be that way. We are genetically designed to live very healthily well into our 90s, 100 and beyond.
Yeah.
Is there some natural degradation, some
yeah.
natural general breakdown of the body as we age? Yes, there is. But as we talk about, I mentioned this in our book, you know, accelerated aging versus, you know,
natural
yeah. graceful aging. Mm-hmm. So we want to, you know, avoid that accelerated aging process. And it starts by making sure that we've got a good frame, a good mm-hmm. structure, and then good musculature to activate the movement of that frame. You know, through our environment. Yeah. So if you think you or your husband, your significant
your
other,
one.
You know, your crush, you know, that someone you're checking out, they're like, yeah, that butt could be, you know, looking a little healthier. You know, certainly check us out. Stop checking them out. And check us out.
check out our office.
Check out our office. Oh my gosh. And that's how we know it's time to wrap this one up.
Oh, so come to our family chiropractic and check out our solution to FPS.
That's right. So I am Dr. Dan. Thank you so much for stopping by. If this or any anything else that we discussed resonated with you, again, you know, we've got more information on our website. And, you know, if you are not someone in the Southwestern PA region, again, we see people who, you know, all over the region who come to our office and get amazing results. But if you're someone who, you know, doesn't live in the Southwestern PA area and wants help finding, you know, a corrective or an analysis-driven chiropractor and someone who may have the, you know, also the skill set that Angela has in terms of how do we activate our musculature, check us out and we're certainly happy to help you find someone in your area, you know, that we could consult with and make sure that you get the help that you're looking for. So with that being said, I am Dr. Dan with
Angela and thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
See you at the next What the Health session. Take care.
You've been listening to What the Health with Dr. Dan and Angela Toro, brought to you by Toro Family Chiropractic. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.whatthehealth.world.